Well, normally, if this wasn't Communion Sunday, I would be in the book of Acts. But since this is Communion Sunday, we're going to try to bring out a little bit better understanding of what Jesus did for us in his sacrifice in our place upon the cross. And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6. And we're going to look starting at verse 41, but we're going to skim up to verse 52. John 6, I don't want to commit the Wanda mistake. Wanda will always remind me, hey, you idiot preacher, where in the wide world are you? Yeah, that's okay. John 6, 41, but we will especially be looking at 52. Now, this came to my mind because of what we've been studying in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we've been learning that the church was essentially, when it started out, to be very much centered in one ethnic group. And they had 1,500 years of staying away from Gentiles because Gentiles were very much awful. And we found out the struggle that Peter had when Peter was finally told, hey, Peter, all those things that were unclean in Moses, it's all over, Peter. And Peter said, oh, no, that can't be. And it took God's power overwhelming Peter to get him to go to Cornelius' home. And we told you about the fact that part of the problem for Jewish people was that they were to be a peculiar people. And God wanted them to not be like the pagan nations. And one of the things that they weren't allowed to do, you all know now, is to eat certain foods. And one of the foods that was really on the top of their list was pork. And the reason why they couldn't eat pork was not because there was something intrinsically wrong with pork. It's that pork was something that the Gentiles liked and offered to the gods. So God said, stay away from pork. I want you to be a what? Peculiar people. And Jesus, knowing all of these things, was a marvelous teacher. And since when I was a little kid, I used to ask my mom, how long do you have to go to school? I hated school. Look what happened to me. I've been in school my whole life. Never got out of school. I used to sit there, oh, it won't be too long and you don't have to be in school. And I said, look, I've been in it. I couldn't face the real world, so I stayed in school, is what most people think when they say that. That's probably true. Jesus knew the Old Testament very well, and he was a teacher of teachers. I role model myself after his teaching because Jesus did not teach the way most teachers today teach. I've been in classes where the teacher has read his notes. You ever been in a lecture class in grad school or in college where literally the teacher read his notes? You want boring? Have a guy get up in a history class or in some class and start reading his notes or her notes. And everybody, especially, I had a famous professor, Henry Morris. Did you ever hear that name of the great creationist? He was a great book writer, but Henry was about as boring as a rock. I kid you not. And I had him right after lunch in undergraduate. And when your body's digesting and he'd get up and literally open up his notes and word for word read it. And I'm just sitting there. Why do they have to torture people with cattle prods? Just have Henry come in and read his notes and you'll confess every state secret there ever was. Oh, that was boring. But Jesus was a teacher of teachers, and Jesus had a way of getting people's attention. And I thought to myself, well, if I want to be a good teacher, I want to teach like Jesus. And Jesus did something that You got to be careful about, that's why I'm in trouble right now. Jesus was a nudge. That means he poked at people. If you do not, if you're a boring teacher, no one listens to you. Boring teachers do not do a good job at educating people because no one's paying attention. They're too boring. But Jesus knew how to get people's attention and knew how to teach. And so Jesus in this passage has a whole group of people and he starts teaching and he's not reading his notes. He was a public expositor. He literally taught with no notes. That's what that means to be a public expositor. He knew what he was going to say and he taught and he knew how to grab people's attention. Now, because of the way he taught, they eventually killed him. I know I'm a dangerous man. If you role model Jesus and you follow his nudging, you could end up in a lot of trouble. Welcome to my world. So Jesus starts teaching in John 6:41, and he starts saying, I'm the bread of life. Suppose some preacher told you, as they were preaching, some preacher said, I'm the bread of life. You eat me to live. I only know people that, you know, so the people are, what are you talking about? But I love what Jesus does here. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Woo! That got everybody's attention. They knew him in Nazareth, and some of the people listening may have helped watch him as a child. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. That got their attention. Notice verse 43. What did the people start doing as he was nudging them in teaching? The people began to what in verse 43? Well, the word is grumble. And the Greek term is the Greek word, and I very rarely mention Greek words, but the Greek word for grumble sounds like a grumble. Go guzmos. Can you say that with me? Go guzmos. Now say it real quiet under your breath. Go guzmos, go guzmos, go guzmos. And you can just see the whole crowd. Your bread that came down from heaven. But here is what Jesus is doing. The crowd's listening, aren't they? And they are paying attention, aren't they? The worst thing you can do is be a teacher when no one pays attention to you. You're not teaching people. And he goes through this. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 51. If anyone eats of this bread, me, he shall live forever. Which I shall give him, for the life of the world is my what? What a nudge. Take a bite. But Jesus is deliberately rocking their world to teach them something, and he's making it sound so shocking to get their attention. Now watch what he does next. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Verse 52. Now the problem is, was Jesus speaking literally or was he trying to convey a spiritual truth? But he raises the stakes. I love this. Well, bread, yeah, okay, I can get, you know, maybe, yeah, bread. You know, we have no problem with bread. As Jewish people, we eat bread. Now watch what happens. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his, you have no life in yourselves. Drink his what? All right. You don't know how much of a nudge Jesus was as a teacher unless we go to Leviticus. And I want you to turn to Leviticus. And I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 17, starting with verse 8. Leviticus 17, verse 8. Now, I told you at the beginning of this, Jesus knew the dietary laws of the Jews. Did he not? Yes. So Jesus, in his whole life, never ate pork. Yes? He never had any of those dietary things that were restricted. I told you about the Jewish kid that went to the seminary, was watching me eat an omelet that had some pork bacon crumbles in it, and he just looked fascinated by, what does that taste like? Jesus had never eaten any of this stuff. And the reason why is he knew the Jewish dietary laws. Look at the Jewish dietary laws in Leviticus, starting with 17:8. Then you shall say to them, any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn with them, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from his people. That's where church discipline began. Only in the Old Testament, instead of throwing them out of the church, what did they do with them when they cut them off from the people? Stone them. Anyway. And any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who's so near who eats any blood, I will set my face against this person who eats blood and will cut him off from the people. Now, why did they do that? Because pagans drank blood. It was like a health elixir to them. You drink the blood because that is somehow giving you a life fix. Where do you think the Vlad the Impaler from Transylvania, he believed, and part of my relatives came from Romania on one side where Vlad was, and this guy, the pagans actually bathed in blood thinking it would give them a stronger life force. And many of them drank blood. By the way, where do you think the vampire myth came from? It came from a satanic inversion. God's people were told not to drink blood. So guess what some Luciferian wrote a story about? Mocking God by drinking blood. This is what Satanism is. They invert things. And so any man that drinks blood was to be cut off. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. It is the blood by the reason of life that makes atonement. Therefore, I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood nor alien. But what did the pagans do? They believed, there are elites in Europe, I kid you not, that have a history of bathing in blood. Human blood. In history, because they believe that somehow gave them more life force and power and youth. Believe it or not, this weird world is weird. Now let's go back to John chapter 6. Jesus therefore said to them in verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and do what? Do you realize how that stunned the crowd? We just were in Leviticus. What were they told not to do? What is Jesus now telling them? He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Now, is Jesus literally saying, you need to take a bite out of his arm and suck the blood from his arm? No, what he's saying is this. His sacrifice on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his body in our place, you need to become so much like Jesus that you literally are exactly what he's made out of. That would mean I've lost some weight. Thank God. I've been trying, but it's been creeping up on me. I got to keep starving myself. I am yogurt and salad. That is all I am now. For the first time in weeks, I had a hamburger patty last night. And if you are what you eat, I am yogurt and salad. That's all I've been eating. Deliberately trying to get my weight down because you've heard of Batman, I am Fat Man. Anyway, you are what you eat. What Jesus is teaching by this is he wants you to become exactly like he is. Now, what's interesting is some Christian groups believe that they can raise up the cup and a wafer and turn it into the body and blood of Jesus, and that's not what happens. It's just a symbol. But they took this very literally. You want to take a bite out of Jesus? Go to some church where they serve communion and tell you the wafer is Jesus' body. It isn't. But that's where they get this from. But Jesus is telling you, if you become his disciple, you need to be exactly like he is. And that's what communion, what we celebrate. We celebrate with communion that as disciples of Jesus, we will be exactly like him, down to the molecule, exactly like him. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread. Now look what the reaction of the people are. Verse 59. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. What was the reaction in verse 60? Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to him, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man go back to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those who were who would believe and who would not and who would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have come, that no one can come to me unless it be granted by the Father. You know why Jesus taught the way he did? It separated the wheat from the chaff, from those who understood what he's saying, from those people who were clueless, from those who truly believed, and those who didn't. And that's what happens to a preacher if you preach God's word. You can tell those who are truly Jesus' disciples because they believe God's word and say yes, or others, I've had people not at maybe here as much, but who have said, preacher, I don't like what you're preaching, I'm leaving. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's separating the wheat from the chaff by strong teaching. And look what it says. He turns and says in verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him. And you know what I say? Thank you, Lord, that that's in there, because I've had that happen in my preaching. I try to stick to the text. I really do. But there's going to be a reaction if you do. Jesus therefore turned to the 12, one of which would betray him, and said, you do not want to go away, do you? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's why Jesus taught the way he did. To draw a response from the crowd, because God does not want looky-loos who follow him. You know what a looky-loo is? When you have an open house in real estate, most of the people that attend the open house aren't even interested in the home to buy it. They just want to see what's inside. Why did Jesus teach the way he did? To separate those who truly believed in him from those who would not. And what was Jesus teaching by this, drink my blood? He wants his disciples to become so like him, not like some damnable preacher, but become so like him that every molecule is Christ-likeness in all that we do. That's what he was teaching. That's what we're celebrating here. You're witnessing that you want every molecule of your being, every molecule of your being, to reflect and be like Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing when you take this, that you are now witnessing, I want every molecule, just like the yogurt and the salad, that's all I am right now. You want to be like Christ down to your every molecule. Shall we take and eat? Shall we take the cup and drink? Our Father, we thank you for the witness of Jesus Christ. No greater privilege, Father, than we can be like our teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.